everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I'm your host, Steph Sia, aka Kimchi on Stage. No, you may not find me on stage anytime soon. Matt's taking off his clothes right now because I'm not booked right now at the club. So you'll have to come see me online on StreamMate under the name Sia on Camera, which is where you can find me. As you can tell, if you are watching on Patreon, you're already going to be like, what the hell is going on this week? This is going to be really strange and silly. This week, I'm just going to say this before we get into the spiel of things, but we're going to be talking about podcasting, podcaster to podcaster today. It's going to be a super fun, light episode while I try my best to not be distracted by your guest today, aka Matt Slayer. We are going to be talking about, you know, starting your own podcast, adult industry podcast, how to be a good guest. It's going to be spicy. We're going to be spilling the tea. Matt's clothes might come off at some point. I just feel like we're going that direction. Who knows? But it's going to be fun. It's going to be super casual. I just really wanted to lighten up the load a little bit this week because last week was super triggering. It was a very traumatic topic we were talking about last week when it came to doxing and just dealing with family and dealing with family that doesn't accept what you do, which is, you know, very, very real side of this industry. But I also want to show the fun side of the industry, which includes podcasting, because I don't know, I feel like everyone and their dog in the adult industry and not even just the adult industry, but like in general has a podcast. And I've also been bugged a lot about like how to start one and, you know, how to prep for one and stuff. So we're going to cover all that from we're fun podcasters. So that's kind of what we're going to try to tackle today. But if you want to fast forward a couple minutes, I'm just going to go and talk about all the things I need to talk about, which is saying hello to my Patreon subscribers. Hello. You've heard this many times before, but just wanted to say hi. We are doing the Queen's Wave over to our Patreon subscribers. If you want to financially support their show, Patreon is your source for that, because after getting many requests of like, what's your PayPal? Where can I Venmo you? You're doing such great work. I want to donate to you. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll just start a Patreon. So that's what's happening. We have tiers starting as low as $4 a month, and that can give you access to behind the scenes episodes, sneak peek on who I'm bringing onto the show, some upcoming topics, or like, you know, fan requested episodes and whatnot. So go check it out. It's patreon.com/strippedbysia. And quick little shout out for fan recognition shout outs, which I do every single episode if you're in the second and third tier. So just want to say hello to Snoo Snoo from Germany. We've got Justin Erickson from Vancouver, Washington. We've got Geyser, we've got Selena Money, we've got Moxie Mayhem, Eric Araujo, B. York from Seattle, who's also a past guest, McKenna King from Edmonton, who is also a past guest. Thank you for supporting. And Dan from Red Door Products in Seattle. Thank you guys so much for your support over the years. It is great. You should be watching this video already. If not, hop on to Patreon. Check it out. Again, once again, patreon.com/strippedbysia. And you'll see how hard I am trying to, again, try to stay focused here. Trying my best. But with that being said, I don't want to hold y'all because, like, again, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about. I know I'm definitely going to be talking about a lot of things, have lots of opinions. But I am bringing on today's guest. You may or may not know him from his podcast, And Now We Drink. Please welcome on Matt Slayer. There we go.
I mean, I could play sound effects. I didn't want to take over your show. I really could play sound effects.
I feel like you could. I feel like, and you would.
Well, you told me not to talk. You didn't say I couldn't do silly things on camera.
Do all the things. I'm here for it. Again, like, we need a light episode. I want people to laugh in this episode, but I also want people to have a good takeaway about, like, you know, podcasting and the adult industry and how this all comes into play. But Matt, what I know from you, and I just did a little bit of internet sleuthing, as I always do with of my guests. You're like, what did you find?
I'm curious.
I don't want to read it straight from your website, but I do. Oh. You're like, I do know you were a former security guard and then somehow made your way into the adult industry, which you're going to share your story today, by the way. And then now you're a podcast host doing all things. Those are some things that I found from Chicago, I think, as well. So
that is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes, correct. And correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I mean, I didn't want to do too much sleuthing because I want you to be able to, like, you know, tell the world who you are in your own words and terms. So go ahead.
Well, so the security thing is actually how I got in.
Okay. There we go.
Like, my first gigs in the industry were providing security for girls at, like, feature gigs and at conventions and shit like that. So I did that for a number of years. And the reason I wanted to be in is, like, I'm a film nerd.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet anyone in Chicago who did mainstream. I met a bunch of people who did porn.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, well, I don't know actually shit about making film at the time, but this is a skill I can provide. I don't want to be talent. I've never wanted to be talent.
You're like, no, no.
No, I know it goes into the job.
Yeah.
And it was never appealing. I wanted to be a behind-the-scenes person.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, even when I started podcasting, I was the second fiddle to my original co-host. Mm. Like, my job was to handle the technical shit. She was supposed to be more of the talent. I was, you know.
And now look at you. Now you're in front of the mic. And now you're on the other side of the mic. Today, not hosting, but as a guest.
I know. It's so nice.
Isn't it?
And for anyone who's, like, familiar with my show, I'm doing the Stone Cold Sober. I'm not drinking right now. You get me sober. Like, I don't know if that's better or worse for you, but it's happening. These are waters. I know the green screen's fucking it up, but they're water.
I mean, like, tell us a bit of your background. Like, tell us, like, some more detail about, like, what were you doing before? How did you land into the adult industry as working in security? Like, was there a connection that you knew? Or, like, is it as simple as just, like, applying for a job? And you're like, okay, now I'm going to be placed here. No. Tell us.
For sure. So back in Chicago, there was a punk bar I used to hang out at all the time. And on Tuesday night, they used to host a Burning Angel night. Like, they would just play fucking Burning Angel porn. At the time, there were 7 or 8 girls that shot for Burning Angel that lived in Chicago. So they'd all come out. And I just hung out and became friends with people.
Cool.
And from becoming friends with them, I met a bunch of people, like, interacted with people via Twitter and shit like that. And it was just like, eventually you just got offered some gigs to go on the road. They're like, oh, you do armed security for a living. Yeah, I could use you. And it just kind of went from there. And then in late 2010, early 2011, one of the directors I met for Adam and Eve was like, hey. And he was like, I'm opening a studio in Vegas. Come west. And I was I wanted to be out of Chicago for years before I left.
Mm.
And I'm like, fuck it. What do I got to lose? I very wisely transferred my day job, which I was still doing armed security at the time, like, professionally, out to Vegas.
Smart.
Because that studio never opened.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Gotcha. Like,
it wasn't a malicious thing. He didn't lie about it. It just never, you know, it's a business. Didn't materialize. Sometimes, yeah.
Dang.
So I spent the next 3 years, you know, traveling for my day job, traveling for feature gigs, like, on weekends, traveling to conventions and shit. All around there, like, just meeting more and more people in the industry, you know, and being like, hey, I want to do production. And just kind of went from there and, like, PA'd, done a bunch of other stuff on set besides being, you know, the dick.
Fair enough. So
I have probably given lubricant to some of your favorite performers.
And I'm sure someone listening is like, what do you do as a, like, a PA? What do you do backstage? Like, how do I get this kind of job? Like, what is in that kind of a job? I'm sure someone listening is wondering that question.
Well, first and foremost, it's really a business of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants to have someone on set who's going to make the performers feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Until you're, like, a vetted, reliable human being, nobody's going to want to bring you on set. It's not just a job you can apply for.
Right.
Because you disrupt the whole goddamn day if you make the talent feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And I hate to break it to you. It's some long days when everything's going right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I guess, you know, a good perspective to look at it is just, it's just basically like film. It literally is film. Those are long ass days. You're standing around. Sometimes you're starving. Like, it's not enjoyable for a lot of people, including myself.
Yeah. Set life's not for everyone. It is really not. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the beautiful part about like the OnlyFans revolution is like a lot of people can take control of their careers and don't have to be on set to make a living.
Right. Right. And that's a whole conversation we've had a whole bunch of times here on the podcast as well. But I mean, your experience in the adult industry has awarded you, like, it sounds like it's just exponentially growing from one connection to the next. Talk about that.
Well, it's just, it's all of entertainment. It's not just adult. It's all of entertainment. This is a business of relationships. We're all navigating the various parts of the entertainment industry. It's like, well, because I know this person, this person says, oh, this is cool. You get other opportunities. Like, you should, I'm sure you see this in podcasting as well. It's like, longer your show's been around and people are like, oh, that was fun to do. That was beneficial to my career. More and more people are probably reaching out to you to be like, oh, I want to do your show. Like, I've heard awesome things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's how my show's grown exponentially. It's 8 years old now.
Is it 8 years old? Damn. Holy crap. That's a long ass time.
I am, quote, one of like the old schoolers in adult podcasting. You know, for very, 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 very long time, I'm like, it's not an adult podcast. We just have a lot of people from adults in it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going
to
say.
I just have to accept it. I just have to accept it's an adult podcast. I just have to accept it.
You just happen to have a lot of sex. Later. Yeah, right? Because, like, you know, and I was going to ask you that question, too. And, like, I guess this can kind of go into, like, one of our buckets, tiers, subjects, all the things that I have listed there. But, like, talking about, like, you know, general podcasts versus, like, niche podcasts. Because, like, I mean, let's actually back it up even further. When you started your podcast, like, what was the motivation behind it and the story? And, like, that you, was there a story? It was just like, I just want to have my own podcast.
So it was purely an ego thing. It was 100% an ego thing.
I love the honesty.
It was at the time in 2015, I started working as a private investigator in LA.
I did see that on your bio. That's crazy. I have so many questions for you.
I have answers. So a lot of my day was doing surveillance on people's homes. Mm. I mostly worked insurance fraud cases, and that's a lot of like waiting to see if someone's going to, you know, lift something heavy when they're not supposed to or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So to pass the time, I was listening to a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in those days, a lot of podcasts were not good.
Yes.
It was still the industry was still very much in its infancy. And there were just a lot of podcasts that weren't good. And I went, I know a ton of fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
I could do this. And I ran into my original co-host, Draven, start a party at a house party. I'm like, hey, you want to start a podcast? And I 100% legitimately to this day believe she thought I was just, you know, blowing some Hollywood smoke up her ass. 48 hours later, the equipment was at my house. And like a week after that, we recorded the first one with Small Hands.
Love it. Nice. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, it's a perk of having those kind of people in your Rolodex. It's like, hey, man, you want to come by and do a podcast?
Done and done. See you there.
Yeah. I mean, some of the people that were on in the first year had no business of being on that podcast, on a podcast that small.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. I mean, again, going back to relationship building, and actually this is kind of like a theme of the episode in general, because podcasting in general is relationship building with your guests, with your audience, with other like-minded hosts as well. But I mean, yeah, I mean, similar story to myself too. It's like I just knew a lot of people in the industry, but more so because I wanted to tell their story. And as a person with like lived experience in sex work, like it was a platform and an angle and perspective that I hadn't heard many voices on, at least firsthand accounts and experience. So that's what I kind of wanted to bring to a table. So going back to my original question about like, you know, general podcasts versus like niche podcasts, like for myself, like my show is very, very niche and I go with specific topics per episode and stuff. And there are a lot of general, like really widespread topics out there. And I commend people like yourself that can just talk on and on about everything. I feel like I, with a neurodivergent brain, I cannot. So it's like it's a no for me. But talk to us about those two buckets because they're very different and they serve different audiences too.
Well, I, for anyone who's thinking about starting a podcast, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Mm-hmm. Find a niche. Find a fucking niche.
Yes.
Like one of the advantages / disadvantages of being a general podcast is people don't know what they're getting every week. Like if they come to a Now We Drink, they don't necessarily know what kind of episodes. Like I have, there are some episodes that are really serious. Me and the guests stay pretty on point about like real serious topics at times. And then there's other times like this week's episode where it's chaos. It's utterly drunken chaos. And you just never know. And the problem is unless you are already famous as starting a podcast, or just already famous in general, why are people going to come to your general podcast?
Yes.
They don't know who you are.
Yes.
They don't know what they're going to get out of a guest. And it's, for an 8-year-old show, my show should be bigger. It should be. But because I'm a general podcast, especially because starting off, I was not really the face of this operation. I was a behind-the-scenes person the whole time before this. So I've never been trying to be like, I've never been trying to be famous. Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult road, and this you watch a lot of podcasters give up.
Oh my gosh, oh man, let's talk about that right now because that's already like triggering me. I'm just like, oh my gosh, so many people I know. Okay, it's like, okay, am I going to get famous? Am I going to have like a live show? Am I going to start monetizing right away? Let's talk about that.
Well, and because I produce for other people, I have a very canned speech about that. Mm-hmm. It's like, no matter what you think of Joe Rogan's content, no matter what you think of Joe Rogan as a person, you have to admit the Joe Rogan Experience is a massive show.
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
Yes.
There's no denying that. You also have to realize that Joe was a nationally touring comic, the host of Fear Factor, the voice of the UFC, mm-hmm. on 2 nationally syndicated sitcoms, and it still took the Joe Rogan Experience 8 years to be a big show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, where the fuck do you think you're going to get Rogan money from?
Right.
Because Rogan still exists. Like, people have a finite time to listen to podcasts. So, if they're coming to your show, they are probably forsaking a different show to do it. Mm-hmm. What are you going to offer that's going to make them turn away from a show that they've been listening to for years? A voice that they trust?
Mm-hmm. No, that makes complete sense because... Like, again, it's just like really getting our egos in check here as well, because, you know, yes, a lot of us are really interesting. A lot of us have a lot to say and not say. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's why a lot of people start shows, because they have a voice and they want to, you know, make an impact in some way or whatever, want to spread the knowledge. But there is still quite a bit of work that does go into podcasting, and let's not ignore that either.
Well, and unfortunately, a podcasting as a medium is really difficult for searchability. Podcasts are primarily consumed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, yeah. And neither one of them have great search algorithms, yeah. Great recommendation algorithms.
Yes.
So once again, unless you're already famous for something else, it's hard to stand out from the noise. And previously, before the adult industry, I worked in music, and I used to tell my music artists this all the time. It doesn't matter if you have the best sound in the world if no one knows it exists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you could, plenty of us are very interesting. There are plenty of other very interesting people out there. But if no one knows they exist and no one connects with what they're saying, it doesn't matter for making money. I'm not saying don't start a podcast, but don't start a podcast coming into it expecting that you're going to be rolling in the money from it.
Yeah, that, I mean, I have made some money off the show, of my show, but I would not say I'm rolling in the dough, and I would never quit my day job or any of my adult jobs over it. It's just like nice change, like literally change. So it's all right.
Like I make some money, but I'm obviously still editing and producing other people's podcasts.
Yeah.
If And Now We Drink made enough money where I didn't have to do that, oh yeah, I would walk away from all my clients in a second and be like, have a good life. I got my own show to worry about.
Peace.
Great. Love you. Thank you for the paycheck all the years, but later.
Yeah. It's just not the reality. And I feel like people think it is one way when it's completely the other. And like they have this notion that we always hear in the adult industry, like, oh, I'm just going to start a podcast, or oh, I'm just going to start this and I'm going to start an OnlyFans, and think that it's easy. But how, I'm not making fun of people, but like how long, how many episodes deep are you going to last? And usually it's not past one season, if that.
Most podcasts statistically, and this is everybody, not just the adult industry, but everybody, makes it under 6 months. There are, last I counted, over 5 million podcasts on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
Less than 10% of them are considered active. And to be considered active, you have had to put out an episode in the last 6 months, which, unless you're doing seasonal stuff or like investigative journalism podcasting, like a Dr. Death documentary type deal, once every 6 months is not active in my mind.
Right. Yeah. I don't think so either.
But that's what Spotify's metric is. So there's less than 500,000 shows putting out a new episode every 6 months.
That's wild.
Yeah.
It's so saturated.
It's a super saturated market. Super.
Yeah.
And you are competing against very big shows that have very big budgets that have networks behind them.
Yes. Yes.
You are competing against established shows like ours. Sorry. If you're coming into the adult space, you're competing with us.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk about that too, in categories and satirization in specifically the adult industry, because congratulations to both of us. We're both AVN nominated podcasts a couple years in a row now. So yay to us. But also, can we talk about that category? How there's like at least 50 podcasts in that category?
There's 52 this year. And I've publicly referred to it as a participation trophy a couple times.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Hell, because every year around AVN, I have Peter Warren from AVN on my show.
Oh, fun.
we've done this 21, 22, or this year was the fourth year of us doing it. I just released that episode last week at time of recording. And before he came on, I was talking with someone else. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be nominated for Best Adult Podcast. And they're like, the guest was like, oh, you sure about that? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure I'll be nominated. I'm sure I won't win, but I'm sure I'll be nominated.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a stupid participant. I mean, it's an honor to be nominated.
Yes.
That almost came across sincere, almost. But it's really silly, because at the end of the day, it's better this year than it was last year. Last year, there were a lot of dead shows, like just flat out dead shows that we were running against. And it's like, why are shows that haven't put out an episode this year even up for this award? This year I went through them. I think only there were one or two dead shows.
Yeah. And not even only that, but like just shows that I wouldn't consider as like adult industry. Like maybe they're an 18 and up podcast to be consumed, but like adult content, but not adult industry related content, which I find odd. But alas, well, here we are.
My biggest beef is actually the ones that are just set up for sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Those, like, whatever people want to say about Adam 22 and Plug Talk and all that stuff, like,
Oh my gosh.
That is a sensitive subject in the industry.
Oh my gosh. I have opinions.
My beef is Plug Talk is a setup for a porn scene.
Oh yeah.
Not a podcast.
For sure. And I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because I was going to bring it up anyways, but you know, great minds think alike. But the talking about, I don't know, The flashiness, the glamorization, the clickbaity of it all, where when it comes to adult industry podcasts, but also just adult industry folks guesting on podcasts. Very clickbaity things. Because I also have another podcaster friend who I've been on the show a couple times. And I remember him saying, like, oh, I really wanted to get into adult industry podcasting. And Matt's already giving a chuckle. Like, but for me, I'm very defensive about it too sometimes. Because like I'm just like, well, what are your motivations and why? And again, anyone can start a podcast. It's totally fine. But then we all know that sex sells. Yes. And the clips generally go viral. Yes. But for me, it's like, very clickbaity with not a lot of attention behind it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, I specifically, and I tell everyone who's ever done the show this, I hate the generic questions that performers get asked.
Ugh.
And I specifically too. Tell people, like, before we start, like, my you know, pre-show rituals a lot looser than yours. I run a lot looser ship than you do. Like, yeah, there's a little anarchy that comes with the now we drink. It happens.
Which is but great.
The things I tell people beforehand is like, I'm not going to ask you the stereotypical bullshit because I don't care. Like, I'm not here to ask you questions about things I don't care about.
Yeah, me too.
And as someone who's been in the industry for over a decade and works on sets, I don't really care about any set story you have unless it's utterly insane.
Yeah. Yes.
Because otherwise it's like, cool, this is another day at the office for us. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Woohoo. And I'm also like, what's off limits? Those are like my two pre-hit. And otherwise, anything goes with my show, but like, that's the fun of it. And these are my peers. Like, I honestly want more mainstream guests on because I want to talk to people that I don't have as much in common with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're some civilian who's like, this is my fastest way to meet porn stars,
mm-hmm.
nobody wants you here.
Yes. And that's more of what I was getting at, is just like, you want an in. And he's like, well, how did you like get this person on? And that's another thing I have too. Like, how did you, from podcaster to podcaster, like, how did you get this person on? And I'm not one to gatekeep. I'll just like, here you go, I'll explain to DMs. Like, I literally just say hello, introduce myself, and slide to DMs. But like, I'm still doing like, it's cold calling basically. And because I have a specific topic in mind that I want that person to talk about, that's why I reach out. And I remember like when I first started my show, we have another show that's very similar to mine that also started in my town as well, that we get compared to a lot. But anyways, this person kept asking me like how to get guests on the show. And I was like, I will give you one, but then you have to do the work yourself sometimes, you know, like, I mean, not sometimes, you have to do the work.
Oh no, you always have to do the work. And that's the other misconception about podcasting is, oh, you just show up and talk, right? Like, no, there's a lot of work that goes into this.
Yes.
And there's a lot of rejection and.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The amount of people like that I'm legitimately friends with and like, hey, come do the show. And they're just like,
yep.
I think this might hurt my career.
Yeah.
Like, I have some mainstream actor friends who I'm like, come do the show, man. It'll be fun. And like, I love you, but holy fuck no.
Yeah.
And you can't take that shit personally.
No. No, definitely not.
It's hard not to sometimes. Well, because you're putting in all this time, energy, and effort, and like, this is our babies.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
And for someone to be like, I don't want to associate with your baby. I think it's ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, but it's my baby.
No, I hear you. It's similar because like, oh, when people think, oh, that's like your fun little project. And I don't know if that's just they're saying that to me because I'm a woman. But yeah. I'm like, fun little project? Like, hello, I've been doing this for 5 years. Not exactly a fun little project that takes, like, you know, a few hours of my time each week at minimum. Like, it's like, what? Put all work into this.
Oh, right. I woke up, like, my audience is very aware of this, but, like, your audience may not be as familiar with me. I am a night owl. I woke up at 7 o'clock this morning to edit because I had a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been in bed. The reason we booked this for like in the afternoon, because I originally intended to be in bed till about an hour before this show.
Oh no.
I was up at 7 a.m. this morning editing.
Oh my gosh. And editing is so fun too.
Oh yeah. Especially like when things are a little chaotic and I shoot multicam. So it's like,
oh my gosh.
A lot of choosing angles.
Yep.
And it's a whole fucking to do, but I do it because, you know, this is my baby. Like, one of my friends who works in comedy is just like, yeah, you have to concentrate on your own content above even the other paying content you work on, because
mm-hmm.
no one's going to care about this as much as you do.
Yeah. 100%.
And it really took a moment for me to like actually have that register after doing this for fucking years. Cause it was like, but those clients, those people actually pay my bills.
Yeah.
But if you continue to treat it like this doesn't pay my bills, it never will.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the attitude. That's a huge thing as well too. And like, again, we're talking about like, you know, monetization and like those being goals in the beginning and stuff like that too. But you really have to put the work in. And sometimes, like, I don't know about you, but this work can be pretty isolating, because I mean, I do this show by myself. So it's like, I'm the host and the editor and the social media person and the person who scouts out all the guests for the show and all the things, right? So it can be like a lot of things funneling into one. And it's just a lot of like me just plugged in, editing, doing my thing. Like, I don't know if you share a similar sentiment over there.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I haven't had a co-host since 2017.
That's so, some time.
Yeah. I went through two co-hosts in the first 2 years, and then I've been doing it solo since October of 17.
Let's talk about, though, solo or co-hosts, because, you know, that's a huge thing, too. And I was like, who did I bring on to the show? And I was like, you know what? My schedule sucks. So I'm just going to do it by myself.
Well, I started the show with Draven Starr.
Yeah.
And she was my friend. And, like, this legitimately sucks. Like, goddamn, sorry. I went to their wedding. Like, I went to Draven and her husband's wedding. Like, she legitimately was my friend. And because the business didn't go well, the business of this podcast.
Oh, no.
We're not really friends anymore.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's heartbreaking.
Our goals and what we wanted to do with the show just didn't line up.
Yeah.
And it sucks. It absolutely sucks. But it's a choice I made.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what motivates me to go on is like, did I just throw away a friendship over something that is just a stupid little project? No.
Yeah.
And then my second co-host, Annie Cruz, Annie and I are still tight. She just, unfortunately, is a workaholic and at the time had her own SiriusXM show, another podcast, this podcast, and a life to try to maintain.
Yeah.
And just, she's like, this is more your baby than it is mine. Mm-hmm. So of all my projects, this is the one I feel most comfortable sacrificing. And like,
that's
I
fair. Get it. That's very fair. Yeah.
And that's why her and I are still tight.
Good. But these are questions that people, again, if you're wanting to start a show, like this is something you might have to, you definitely actually have to face and understand that you might sever some relationships and those might not ever recover after
no,
that.
No, they may not. Like, going into business with people that are your friends could be a messier breakup than being involved with someone romantically.
Oh, messy, messy, messy for sure.
Yeah, it can get real bad, but it's legitimately, it's like you don't have the good time chemicals in your brains that should have you like the romantic connection to someone that, you know, it's like, oh, they weren't so bad. Like when it's just platonic and business goes bad, the bad feelings are the ones that fucking register. And it's like, it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I really wish it could have worked with Draven. Like, she legitimately, like, one of the people I care about, and she's my friend, but it's just like, it got to a point where I felt like I was micromanaging my friend to try to make this successful. And that's a shit feeling, too.
That's very challenging and very frustrating. And not a good feeling overall to have with a business partner.
Yeah. And on one hand, like, having a co-host is awesome when your guest sucks.
Yes.
Because you always know you have that safety net of, this person is here, we have good rapport.
Yeah, we have good banter.
We can bounce off each other.
Yes. Yeah,
we can make this happen.
Oh, yeah. And we're definitely going to talk about guests sucking. or just, like, you know, challenges with guests very shortly. But actually, before we head into that, a couple more questions for you, too. Like, just
of course, thinking. Of course.
But we're talking off air about, like, talking about, like, remote podcasting, like what I do, or in-person podcasting, like what you do. They're different.
Very. And no offense, I think these suck. I'm thrilled to be here right now, but and I'm having a good time. Don't get me wrong, but think of what the energy would be like if we were sitting in the same room doing this.
Oh, totally. Totally.
And I feel the audience could feel that. Like, there are a couple points where, like, I'm sorry, I've stepped over you on talking. And if there were physical cues and, like, we were
body
in the same
language,
room, the body language, I'd be like, oh, but yeah. Looking at a screen, it's really easy for me to just keep yapping and step on your toe, like step on you. And it's, as an editor, as a fellow podcaster, it's something I fucking hate out of people. It's like, no, you got to let people fucking talk.
Oh my God. That's a pet peeve of mine too. In general, for even when I'm listening as like for other podcasts that I consume, the talking over it, it's like, cannot stand. But you make a really great point. And, you know, for those who have not been here since season one actually started off in-person podcasting. That was like, yeah, right before, the year before the pandemic, 2019 is when I started. So have I gone back to that? No, I have gone. I have done one episode in person, but kind of just went fully remote. But for myself, it works out better for my schedule, and usually for most of my guest schedule, because I don't have to be there physically. I don't have to have a space for it, and I also can now cross borders, cross country lines, and stuff too, and reach folks for my show and ask, you know, what's going on in your side of the world that is being impacted, or how are sex workers being impacted in that way. So again, just depends on like what you're looking for, whatever works out best for your schedule and whatnot. But I do miss the in-person banter a lot. It's not the same.
It's really not the same. And for me, yeah, I could definitely expand my reach. And like, I've made a couple exceptions over the last couple of years. Like, I had Stoya on because she lives in Serbia these days. And like, Stoya and I go way back. So it's just like, oh, I'll make an exception. And then I had Michael Federosi on last year because he lives in Rotterdam these days.
Damn.
And he wanted to, you know, talk to performers about like new laws that were coming down the pipes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is important for the community. I'll make this exception. But otherwise, I live in LA. Like, if you're in the industry, chances are you're going to be here at some point.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I will make time, you know, around your travel to get you on.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather give my audience the best show possible with them. And I'm sure you run across this doing remotes too, because I did remotes for the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
The amount of people who have shit equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I lost my mind. I lost my fucking mind a couple times where, like, people I know who do cam shows all the time didn't have microphones.
What?
Yeah. I didn't say shit till the day of.
Oh, you know what? This is going to go right into guest pet peeves. Guests, past guests, I love you all. But sometimes when you're not reading some of the notes that I give you lots of prep things that you should do. You have very little homework from me. But some things have just been frustrating. So from podcaster to podcaster, Matt, we're going to be talking about some things that we love about our guests. And, you know, and like this whole conversation that came about and like this whole episode topic came about is because I wrote an article in XBiz talking about how to be a good podcast guest. And we're just like, yes to all of this. And I'm just like, let's record an episode on this very topic.
And I kept my word. I was early.
Yeah, you did.
I said on Twitter I was going to be early. I was.
It's perfect. But let's talk about that because, you know, I've had so many guests that are running late without any kind of communication that, you know, might have just forgotten or like, oh, I thought it was this time. Like, you have the time difference thing on the Google invite. Everything is there for you. What are the excuses? It's rude. I'm sorry. It's really rude.
Oh, it's rude shit. Like, I have had people flat out no call, no show.
Yep.
And I don't know what your policy is. You no call, no show.
You're not coming on.
I don't care
on.
Who you are. Yeah. I'm never booking you again.
Yeah. 100%.
Never. At least lie to me. Give me a bad excuse.
Yeah. At least. At least.
Yeah. Respect me enough to lie to me.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Like, I'm not unreasonable.
Yeah.
But no call, no show. And I've had people let be. You know, I recorded my apartment. I've had people be hours late. Just no word, hours late. Like, about to just pack it in for the night and like, ding dong, like, what the fuck?
What?
Oh, I guess we're doing this. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess we're doing this thing.
Oh, no. And you're in person, so it's just like, hello, what are you doing at my house?
Yeah. Well, let's get to recording. Like, at that point, it's just like, let's hit the ground running.
Yeah. Totally.
But on the flip side, occasionally I get people who show up to my place early and this is me being a bad person. I am so used to people running 10 to 15 minutes late in this industry that I'm usually smoking a cigar until they show up. And I'm still like, oh shit, you're here already? Fuck. I have half a cigar left. Fuck. Fuck. Thank you for being on time, but fuck.
But I mean, just like stuff like that should just be very... what I would say commonplace etiquette manners.
Oh yeah.
Who knows?
So one I've been dealing with recently, like where it's very frustrating, is I've been getting a lot of performers being like, can I bring my dog?
Oh yeah. And this is going to be a problem for an in-person thing, but also affects remote too. Cause the dog in the background does not work well.
Well, and like, I'm doing this balancing act of, I want my guests to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, especially if I don't know them already, like, you are a sex worker coming over to some dude's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want you to feel comfortable.
Of course.
But I also want to put out a professional fucking product.
Yeah.
And dogs do not, even the best behaved dog just doesn't hear that. It's in the back of my head, I'm like, if this was just a regular shoot, if this was you being on set, would you bring your dog?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good way of putting it. Cause some people are, again, they don't really take it seriously at all. It's a show up and talk attitude.
Yeah. It's like, no, this is my business. This is my product. Like, I hope that you take your marketing. Cause this is what it is for you as a guest. This is your marketing. I hope you take your marketing as seriously as I take my business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And the marketing thing is another thing too. Like talking about cross promotion and just marketing, that has been a struggle sometimes. In terms of like reciprocation, it doesn't take much to retweet something, to share something, to your story, to comment back on something. It is just a thank you, in my opinion.
Well, it's also, you're hurting yourself by not promoting, like, one, are you not happy with your appearance? Two, by our powers combined in the algorithm, we're going to get more exposure to both of us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to ever demand that a guest set one of the posts as a collaboration on their Instagram. I'm never going to be like, you have to be a collaborator. But every time I hit collab with someone, it does more views than I normally do and does more views than they normally do.
Totally.
Like, Cherie DeVille has done the show and doesn't need a Now We Drink to promote herself. She doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, she's a friend. I love her to death. Thank you for doing the show. But two of the posts we did collabs on did over 4 million views on Instagram.
Amazing.
Her regular, even with her 4 million followers, her reels generally do 1 to 2 million views. So the algorithm, for whatever reason, with the added boost, decided to show that to 4 million people.
That's awesome.
Right. And it boggles my mind when performers that are a much, you know,
smaller,
lower profile.
Yeah.
Don't want to like promote their appearance.
Yeah.
They don't, it's like, okay, what were you, why'd you come do the show?
Well, what's the point though? Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, when, why did you come to the show? Cause like, it's very frustrating sometimes. Like going back to one of your earlier comments too, talking, they're kind of related about like when guests are shitty and like, you know, like you're pulling teeth to try to get responses. Like that's another thing. Like, yes, we were talking about like, again, before the show, talking about like guests and nerves and like wanting our guests to be comfortable in our spaces and stuff. But especially like when people are pitching themselves being the show and then they like literally have nothing to say when you bring them on, it's like wild to me. Wild.
My bad. I'll go. I'm sorry. Sorry. My bad. My bad.
You said more than two words, Matt.
Oh, shit.
It's okay. You can stay. You can stay.
Oh, yay! Well, yeah. And yeah, as we were talking about off camera, I don't know if that's nerves. I don't know if that's just... My theory on some of it is, with a lot of performers, who they portray to the internet is a character.
Yeah.
And
totally.
They haven't fleshed out their character well enough to figure out, oh, can I talk about music? Can I talk about travel? Can I talk about things that are besides what my favorite position is, who I want to fuck?
Right.
How I lost my virginity. Does my family know?
Yeah.
All that stereotypical bullshit.
Yeah.
And when I'm like, so what was the last concert you fucking went to? Like, what musical artists are you into? Where do you want to travel to? People are just like,
we can talk about this kind of stuff.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's too intimate for the general public to know, or I don't know how my character would answer.
Yeah.
I don't fully grasp the psychology of it. And this is coming back to your earlier point. It's like why people need to research shows they're doing a little bit. Because if you've watched anything besides my short form clips, you'll know I'm not going to ask you about that stereotypical bullshit.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I am also the same way as well, because I don't know if you're getting a lot of pitches lately, but I'm getting a lot of pitches lately from performers themselves, but also like creators too. And then, yes, talking about PR too. PR will pitch a lot as well. Let's talk about that. But yes, it's a lot of people pitching and then they just have not done any research on the show. I think it might just be the like a plug talk kind of show. And there's nothing wrong with shows like that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with shows like that. But if you list, I have many opinions. I don't know if I should say it in here.
I mean, it's your show. This is the place where you can air your opinions. I hate to break it to you. It's your show.
We've all said in the podcast, I do not like shows like that because I think they are problematic to the industry for many reasons because it glamorizes sex work and causes for a lot of people to be in here without proper research. But getting professional. But this is why I don't like shows like that, because it perpetuates negative. But yeah, again, people not doing the research about what this show is about. Like my show is about destigmatizing sex work, and that's how it's been since day one. And too many people coming on and just like being clueless.
Well, and the goal for Now We Drink has always been, I want the audience to feel like they sat down next to us at a bar and overheard our conversation.
Yeah.
That's why it goes wherever the fuck it goes.
Which is awesome.
Like, that's why it tangents everywhere. But people come in, like, expecting a Q&A podcast.
Right.
They expect, and it's like, oh, no. I, part of your lifting is you need to actually have a conversation with me.
Mm-hmm. You like, need to have a conversation.
Right. Please do not just sit here and wait for me to answer questions. And especially don't do it with a yes, no. Mm-hmm. After all these years, I have a lot of pet peeves about things guests do. Yes, no is definitely at the top of the list.
List them out. I could probably add to it, too.
So one of this is maybe a little nitpicky, maybe.
You're allowed to be. It's your show.
I know. Well, this isn't, though.
Oh, no. But it's okay.
Actually, it's my show now.
Matt's taking over, guys. Your new host.
This is how we're announcing it. Like, that's right. I'm going to run 2 weekly podcasts now.
Where's that curtain emoji thing that you're doing?
Ta-da! One of the things I despise in storytelling, because I very much encourage and I want my guests to tell stories. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I hate in storytelling is telling someone's name unless it is a relevant name to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the way you want to portray it is, tell me the relationship.
Yeah, give me the context.
And right, the context is what matters. Being like, Chuck and I went to the bar. Like, who the fuck is Chuck? Like, what does Chuck matter? If you're like, my buddy and I went to the bar last night and it got wild. Like, that's, but people haven't been media trained on how to, like, properly storytell.
Right.
And yeah. It annoys me. Like, and I'm fairly certain it annoys an audience too, because if you're completely cold to the situation, like, who the fuck is this person?
Well, that's a lot of questions going in people's mind. I'm sure it would be the same thing to be like, yeah, what's going on? Like, who is this person? I don't remember this character being introduced in the story.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that's frustrating. A lot of it is just, especially because I run a loose ship, people not taking it seriously is fucking frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the medium. It's also part of the charm of the medium is it's unscripted. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you ever get this, but I definitely do at times. I will get people in the YouTube comments or in the comment section like, oh, X person was fucking boring or something like that. It's like,
oh,
dog, it is unscripted.
Yeah.
I cannot make people talk.
No.
Believe me, if I could, oh, I would.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, no, I've had that like in my earlier season sometimes. And you know, yes, you have to start from somewhere. It's a truly humbling thing to go through this whole process. And like, I'm a person that actually doesn't even like public speaking at all. So it's like, why am I doing this? And I understand it can be a nerve-wracking thing. It can be a thing that is just like very like you have a lot of things you can say on paper, but then you don't know how to articulate it in words. And it becomes very challenging for an audio thing, you know, that you have to listen to. There's only so much editing that I can do and only so much I can carry the conversation with, especially I'm by myself. So it's like, I don't want to just be talking to myself by myself. I want to be talking with someone, and that's why I have these conversation-based shows, right? So it should go hand in hand. Should.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. And a little behind the curtain inside baseball for anyone who listens to my show, you can tell the episodes where I'm not getting the best cooperation out of the guests for whatever reason. I get very story heavy. I just start telling fucking stories. Because thankfully, I've had a very, you know, odd life, and I have a lot of stories. And I hate this for me at times, like, because I feel like I've gone to the well too many times after 400 plus episodes. Like, I have a lot of stories, but there's still a finite amount.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can you do? You can't just sit there and have dead air.
No.
I'm curious. Are there any episodes that you've trashed over the years? You're just like, this is unsalvageable. I'm not releasing it.
There have been a couple. And there have been a couple episodes that I've just reverted on draft because mostly because of certain guest behavior that have come out and has been problematic. In those instances, I definitely take the episode. It's not, it's unpublished. I don't want to uplift any kind of voices like that, but there have been a couple episodes that like I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, these are not good for a number of reasons. But yeah, it's like, again, I bring on guests so I can really highlight and elevate the guests that I bring on. I don't want to hear the majority of my voice talking in the episode. It's all about you, Matt. It's all about you.
That's a weird thing to do.
Why would you ever do that?
Why would you do that? Why would you do that? It's weird.
I mean, I really hope. Sorry, go ahead. Again, in-person stuff would be great.
In-person. Yeah. And next time you're in LA, you're doing my show.
Oh, obviously.
Gotta get you drunk.
Perfect.
Yeah, obviously we want to bring people on to have good conversations and like put the spotlight on them. And I feel like we're almost beating a dead horse here. It's mind-boggling that people don't want to be part of that process, that we are dragging them kicking and screaming into promoting themselves.
Yeah, that's a big part for sure.
This is purely for your benefit.
Yes. Yes. And I'm sorry. Like, I guess the last thing I'll say, because I still want to, I don't want this episode to come off as like we're just bitching. I mean, partially, yes, bitching. But also,
I'm good at it, though.
I think we have very valid reasons, though, because this, again, over 200 episodes here, you have over 400 episodes. Like, we've been doing this for a long time. It's not like I'm new at this anymore, but I just want future guests that come on to really understand our perspective. But also, I'm just getting a lot of pitches from people that like, I want to be on the show, I want to be on the show, but like not having any kind of topic in mind, or I just want to talk about my experience. I'm like, yes, but we talk about that in about 10 minutes on the show, 10 to 20 minutes maybe, about like your story and how you got here. But there has to be more. Like, you know, you have to carry a conversation for an hour, and we can't just talk about your life for an hour. For stories on set, as you mentioned, like, I'm not interested in that kind of stuff, or things that are easily Googleable. I'm just not interested in any of that kind of conversation at all. So,
me neither. If you can go to another resource and get it easily, I don't want it.
Yeah. I want new.
And I could definitely. How many guests have you had over the years where it's just like, oh, this is very canned. You very much have this speech practice. You've said this on other podcasts. Like, you could just tell. Definitely have people just like,
definitely.
This is well rehearsed.
Yeah. And then you throw them a question that's like out of left field, and they're like, oh, whoa. They're like taken out of that character, right? I mean, all this being said, and we're just saying this because, like, again, we want to provide feedback and constructive criticism. How would you say, like, what are some good tips for people that actually want to come on shows and be a good guest? What would your tips be, Matt?
Well, first and foremost, know what show you're going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, understand the show you're going on. Are you going on a show that is going to be, I mean, I'm being a little off the cuff here because, you know, this show's a little more serious than I'm used to, and I can't help myself, but... You know, to try to know what you're going on and conform to the show you're going on, to the format. Yes, the show is about you, but it is not here for you to break it and mold it to your will, to what you want.
Right.
You're still the guest.
Guest.
So if you're going on a show where it's like, oh, this is a Q&A show, it might not be the most advisable to start firing stuff back at the hosts. Don't guilty. Invite me to those shows. Don't invite. I can't. I will. I'm not good at it. And then part of being a good guest is understanding that you need to promote what's going on. And I personally am very much, I tell people this, like, if you were unhappy with anything that was said in the show, tell me, I'll cut it.
Yes.
You were unhappy with the appearance. Please just let me know. Mm-hmm. Like, do not. I had someone day before release. I texted them to let them know the promotion was going to start tomorrow. And they were like, oh, I didn't think you were going to air it. Can you not?
What? No.
I could fucking kill you right now. Fucking kill you. I just spent an hour. Like, we record, like, I have a lot in the can right now. Around Expos in the beginning of the year was real busy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was recording like 3 or 4 shows a week. I have a lot in the can right now. So like, this was recorded before AVN in January.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, I went to release it 2 weeks ago. And the guest was just like, oh, yeah, I totally thought you weren't going to air it because it's been, we recorded it like 2 months ago. I'm like,
oh, my gosh. Oh, no.
Shit doesn't expire.
Yeah. Oh, no. And, yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, the guest did try to do the right thing and was like, let me kick you some money for your time because you spent the time editing it, which was super kind. Nice. But it's just the, like, this would have been solved with a phone call.
Yeah.
Like, weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I have another one. The guest literally texted me 2-3 nights ago. Middle of the night. It was really strange, but, you know, whatever. Like, hey, I've been giving it more thought. Can we re-record next time I'm in LA? I said, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I inquired about was like, what part of it were you unhappy with? I know there was one part where the guest mentioned an ex-partner and they wanted that removed initially. Mm. I was happy to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, beyond the ex-partner part of it, what were you unhappy with? And they're just like, I wasn't in the best place when we recorded it. I think we'd have a much more fun episode, like, next time I come to town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Fair.
That's more than fair. And like, I personally don't think anything was particularly wrong with the first recording, except I did call them out on some behavior I didn't think was particularly like good.
Mm. And
I'm not sure they were expecting to get pushback on it.
Mm.
Basically, they canceled the collab like last minute because they were hungover.
Oh.
I'm like, that's a bad look.
That is a bad look.
Like, you're an adult. You know, it's your responsibility to not drink too much the night before. And they were just like, but, like, no, there's no but about it. Like, you don't know the other person's time and effort. Yeah. Like you're potentially hitting them right in the pocketbook if they were expecting to, like, turn around and sell that scene pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a bad look.
It is.
And they were just like,
not expecting that.
Well, yeah, not expecting me to just be like, yeah, it makes sense. You drank too much.
And like, haha, I'm laughing about guy. It. You're right.
I'm the drinking guy. I totally get that. No, I edit this shit hungover all the time.
Right. This is what you're
doing. My job.
It's a commitment. It's a commitment that you're making.
Right.
If you can't commit to it, then just don't do it. Right?
Exactly. But 100%. 100%. But just know what you're getting into, like the social contract of being a guest. And if you're unhappy with it, just tell us.
Yeah.
Just tell us. Like, we're not one of those gross red pill dude podcasts that is looking to just exploit you off of like ambush content or gotcha fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, we all have to, in addition to that shit just being gross, like, I think that shit is just gross.
Me too.
Like, we are members of this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to come and want to do my show if they think I'm just trying to ambush you or, you know, get you to say shit that is out of pocket or make people feel uncomfortable. I've been doing this way too long. I've been in this industry way too long to want to, you know, make people feel uncomfortable when they're doing their fucking job.
Yeah.
So just clear communication is fucking key.
Yeah, that's all we're asking for. That's all we're asking for. Seriously, it's not a lot though.
No. Like, I have never once been like, except for maybe 2 weeks ago, been like, what the fuck? I mean, to be fair, the guest who did that is also someone I've known for over a decade, so I felt a little more comfortable being like, what the fuck? But otherwise, I've never, you know, been angry about, like, been disappointed, and I've definitely been like, you sure we can't salvage this if I felt the episode was salvageable? But if, after me asking that question, if they're like, it's not, I just want it gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And there is one real big asterisk on that from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had an episode where, this is in the audio only days.
Okay.
We did the episode. In the middle of the episode, she propositioned me.
And no.
Like, more than once.
Oh, no.
I paused the recorder. I'm like, yo, are you doing a bit or are you serious right now? And she goes, well, that depends on you. I'm like, well, I'm game. Sure, why not? So, holy, you know, crap. We go and bang. And she's like, oh, that was fun. I'm like, you know, we have to finish the podcast, right?
Yep.
Like, we didn't wrap. So we get back on air. We talk about it. Like, we explicitly talk about it. And 2 weeks after it was recorded, 4 days after it airs, I get a text from her saying, hey, can you take that down?
Mm.
And I go, sure, no problem. I don't get as much as a thank you for that. And it pissed me off. It really pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I had a male comedian friend of mine re-record her parts. We transcribed it and he re-recorded all her parts word for word. And then we re-released it without any mention of who it was.
That's hilarious.
So there was a dude who has a deeper voice than me talking about how my cum tastes. It's legitimately one of the funniest things I've ever done, but it could be seen as a little toxic, maybe.
Like, which episode is this? Now you have to listen back.
Episode 85, the redacted episode.
I'm going to listen to this after this. It sounds wild.
My buddy who re-recorded her parts did a really good job of trying to get her cadence down. Because he's reading the transcript and he's listening to her original recordings in the cans while he's doing her parts. And then I just mixed it in with my original dialogue.
Perfect. That sounds so hilarious. That's one good way to salvage it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like literally that would have been avoided with a thank you.
Right. Yeah.
But I was feeling a little indignant in the moment. And it was just like, we recorded this 2 weeks ago. You know we had sex. You know we talked about it.
Yeah.
If this was a problem, I've been inside you. It's okay to say, please don't air that.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with someone who's been inside you.
I mean, there's so many ways, and to wrap this up, there are so many ways you can be a good guest, but it really comes down to just being polite, communicating how you're feeling about at any point in the podcast or your post-production or whatnot, or even after it airs. But also just, doing research, coming on time. Just, again, what I would say is common sense stuff.
You think, but so many times over the years, it's just like my mind is blown by some of the people and some of their behavior. I'm going to bitch a little more. Please. I had a recent guest who has done the show multiple times.
Okay.
And this time around, for whatever reason, decided to not promote fucking anything, but was commenting and liking posts.
What?
Like, there isn't even the plausible deniability that you didn't see this.
Yeah, especially when you're commenting and liking on it. Like, come on.
You're interacting with the trolls, but you're not reposting anything? What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. I had a guest, too, that was like, this is against my brand. I'm like, then why are you coming onto the show?
Exactly.
Like, why? And this person has a huge following. It's just like, I feel so, I was thinking about it like a few weeks ago and I was like, I should take down the episode because they've done nothing to help me. And I'm not trying to say it's like a, you know, I take one, you take one. It's not nothing. That's not the point. It's a principle though behind it because you want to help the other person succeed as well. Anyways, I digress. I could go on and on about this.
I don't want to take down their content. Like, you know what? At least, like, there should be something redeeming out of the episode, even if they're not promoting it. Like, it still, like, gives you a place where you got to shine with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you deny the internet your shine, even if this person doesn't want to promote it?
Yeah. It's just, it rubs me. That really rubbed me the wrong way, especially when they're like, oh, I'm a sex worker. Because then the whole question was about like creator versus like sex worker, specifically when it came to streaming, like Twitch streaming. Like, what's the difference between streaming and, you know, being a cam girl? Like, there's a fine line, but like, it's what you are doing is very similar, but you still have clothes on, but you have bikinis and hot tubs. Like,
well, as someone who is a Twitch streamer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to refer to it during the pandemic as nerdy camgirling.
Because
it's the same dynamic. You use the same software. Use the same software to connect to Twitch that you do to all the streaming sites.
Yes. So what's the difference?
The only difference is who your audience is.
That's a problem with her audience. Unfortunately, it's like they can be conservative in a traditional cultural way. But at the same time, it's just like, well, if you want to also slap the label sex worker on you, and I'm not saying that everyone has to be out and about it, but like, if you were actually going out and labeling yourself as a sex worker and saying that I am a sex worker, but then not wanting to promote any of that to your fans, because you know that they're going to get angry.
Well, then you shouldn't do things that, you know, are against your brand.
Yeah, that's conflicting, in my opinion. Or you don't know your brand well enough.
100%. I had a interesting experience a while back with, this is an episode that didn't air. Mm-hmm. I had a comedian on who has an OF.
Yep.
And during the recording, I referred to her as a sex worker, and she got really offended by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I during the recording, immediately dialed it back.
Yeah.
I went, okay, I'm not here to label you.
Yeah.
If you're just a comedian with an OF, you're a comedian with an OF.
Right.
But what happened after we got off air, as the show was wrapping, she said, I wish sex work didn't have the stigma that it does. And I bit my tongue on air. Once we got off air, I was like, you're not really helping fight that stigma.
No, exactly. So you want to take and rake it all in and not wear any of the stigma? That's not how this works, honey.
Yeah, she lost her shit. Like, I turned the text messages she sent me into merch.
Okay, is it available in your store still?
It is.
I'm going to have to, like, ask you which ones they are.
it's the one that looks like, well, actually, I just put one up that is an unhinged test DM I got from somebody who's threatening me with legal action, but it's the other one that things happen. This is the one where, like, you'll see it's just a text string that I don't respond to with, like, 1 minute timestamps all the way down.
I need to see this later. Peep your store.
But it was just like, I'm not here to tell me how you feel about this. Like, it's often the balancing act of, I don't want to let shit like that slide.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be in direct conflict with my guests.
Yeah. No, I understand. And it's delicate. I pick my battles because sometimes I just know that sometimes my guests are going to be very receptive, generally speaking. But sometimes I have guests on that are very reactive and I know how they are. And I will just take their episode down if I come into a conflict like that. Because sometimes it's not worth me trying to educate and using my emotional capacity to try to do that when I already know that they've already made up their mind about something, unfortunately. So, but I try as much as I can to educate and like lay it out on the line.
You're better about it than I am. there's sometimes like behind, you know, pull the curtain back a little bit. There are definitely some episodes that are still up where like I have guests have said shit that I don't agree with. And I purposely let it slide to let the show go on. I just very quickly change the subject.
Yeah.
That's the one other perk of being a general show is like, oh shit, this is something I'm not comfortable talking about. We do not see eye to eye about this shit.
Yep.
Like, I don't know you well enough to know that we can have a constructive conflict and we're in my apartment by ourselves. Like, I am just going to
move on.
Yeah, I'm going to quickly change the subject as fast as I humanly can. I've also been punched in the head by a guest before, so.
You've gone through a lot more crazy shit than I have. Yeah. I'm not mad about that.
In person ain't all it's cracked up to be. I can't punch you, even if I don't want to. But I can't do it. It doesn't work. Once again, would never do that. But no. I'm proving a point.
Matt, I mean, this has been such a great episode for myself. It almost feels like therapy in podcast land. So I'm just very happy. But I really do hope it has answered some questions, especially those who are wanting to come in the show, because a lot of listeners try to come to the show too. And I do listen and look at all your pitches. I do respond to all of them. I just am asking for it a bit more. And hopefully this can give you a bit of insight as to what we as podcasters in the adult industry go through and things that, you know, would like to see improved. But Matt, before I let you go, they do have some Q&A questions that came in from Twitter/X. Some quick fire questions here. I guess we'll just roll into it. But
all right.
Who haven't you interviewed yet but want to?
Let's see. Let's go with Angela White, who I've tried to peer pressure into coming to do the show a couple times and, you know, have gotten lukewarm commitments on. Damn. I would love to have Bert Kreischer on again. I had Bert Kreischer on for a brief appearance at LA Podfest in 2017. That was another one of those shows like, oh, hey, we're going to make this. And it's never come together. He is way too fucking famous now, so I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Damn it.
And unfortunately, someone doxed him, so I don't even have his fucking phone number anymore.
No. Fuck. That's annoying. But
real quick on the back to the podcasting thing, and before we get to the
my
policy on that shit is I ask people twice.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if after the second time you're non-committal, it doesn't come together, I just don't ask again.
Yeah,
it's
not here to chase.
I'm not here to chase, and also I don't want anyone who's not enthusiastic about doing the show at this point. Like,
yes,
the show is way too old and way too established for me to be like, please come do my podcast.
Yeah, I'm not going to beg.
No.
No.
And I understand, like, as we were talking about earlier, like, might not be on brand, it might not be whatever.
Yeah. Fair enough. No, that's very valid. Okay. These are definitely going to be some quick fire questions that you might have seen on Twitter. right. How old was he when he first had sex?
16 to someone else's girlfriend.
Ooh, that's another story for another time, folks. Where is he on the designator hitter rule? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
I'm assuming something with baseball.
You and me both are confused.
I'm generally, if I'm at a baseball game, I'm just drunk and eating hot dogs, so meh.
Correct. Eating snacks. What does he think his last words will be?
Shit!
I thought it was going to be fuck, but never mind.
Nah, it might be fuck, but shit. I feel like it's more something I'll see coming, and, you know. it'll be a shit!
And I think we'll just go with this last one. What kind of cult would he like to start?
The one I already have. like to start. You think I got time for a second cult? I think I got time for a second cult. Do your research, people.
Come on. Come on.
A second cult. Who has time for a second cult? No one has. Did David Koresh have time for a second cult? No.
No. Matt.
I have a podcast to run, too. God damn.
This was so much fun and so hilarious. I have had a blast, and I feel much lighter now. So thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
But, of course, you know this question's coming. Where can we all find you?
Oh, well, I mean, why would you want to find me? That seems like a silly thing to do. Like, oh, I guess if you really have to. You can find me at Matt_Slayer on Twitter, Matt Slayer on Instagram, Matt F. and Slayer on Facebook, twitch.tv/MattFandSlayer. You can find the podcast at And Now We Drink on Twitter, And Now We Drink _ on Instagram. And I almost just did my sign off.
Autopilot mode is on.
Yeah, that is such an autopilot read.
Guys, all those links are going to be in the show notes below. So be sure to like, comment, do all the things, subscribe, all the things.
I totally forgot. Patreon.com/MattFandSlayer.
How could you forget about the one you get paid at? Come on.
It's the newest one, and I still have conflict of, like, still directly asking people for money at times. Like, oh, yeah.
I hear you.
Please give me money, please.
I hear you. But this has been great. Thank you so, so much, Matt. I've had so much fun. I'm going to have so much fun editing this episode. But
I'm sorry.
It's going to be great. Everyone else listening at home, on the bus, in your car, whatever, it's new episodes for Stripped by Sia every single Sunday, dropping at midnight Pacific Standard Time. Oh, got a weird phone call coming in my AirPods. Let's do that part again. That was so weird. And for everyone else listening at home, it's Stripped by Sia. New episodes coming out every single Sunday, dropping at midnight Pacific Standard Time. And you can catch me on X. I'm usually pretty active there, Stripped by Sia. On Instagram, Stripped by Sia Podcast, because as you all know, my other account, original one, was deleted and suspended. So that is sad. Patreon.com/Stripped by Sia. If you want to pitch yourself to be on the show, it's strippedbysia.com. And catch me online in the interweb somewhere, or naked on Stream8 or whatever. But I'll see you all soon. Thanks again, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Stripped by Sia, hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia. Music by Ted D. Graphic design by Maria Bellendorama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.